The topic that we're going to be looking at, or the series that we're going to be looking at, is something that I've called The Fulfilled Life. The Fulfilled Life. So we're going to look at that. It's going to be in four parts. Today we're going to look at the first part, which is what I've called Foundations for a Fulfilled Life. Then part two, we'll look at what does it look like? What does the fulfilled life look like in three areas of our lives that three areas of our lives. The first area will be our personal everyday life. The second area will be our spiritual life. And the third area will be our, what I've called our work or school, or the part of our lives that has to do with making a living or preparing to make a living. So we'll be looking at those three areas, but today we want to look at the foundations for a fulfilled life. Oftentimes, you know, one might be in a job, one might be doing one or two things, or you might even hear people say, look, I'm not fulfilled in this thing that I am doing. I don't have any sense of fulfillment. Maybe I'll try something else. It might be that someone is saying, look, I just don't have any real satisfaction in life, and so on and so forth. So fulfillment, I believe, is something that comes across in all of our lives, because we're always looking for something that will bring us a sense of fulfillment, something that we can say, yes, I feel fulfilled when I'm doing this thing, or if I do X, Y, and Z, I'll be more fulfilled. And even if it's not as formal as that in terms of doing something, I believe that we're always, as humans, pursuing things consciously or subconsciously that will bring fulfillment to our lives. So that's what we want to look at for the next four Fridays, including today. But like I said, the first thing we want to look at today is what I've called the foundations for a fulfilled life. And you guys know that when I teach, I try and make it as practical as possible. I'm not going to be talking about things that are theoretical. There are things that apply to our everyday lives, things that we go through, and how the Word of God applies to those areas of our lives. So that's what I'm going to be looking at, not anything theoretical. So the foundations for a fulfilled life. In looking at this one, I'm going to be focusing on three questions. Now, we might have asked ourselves these questions in one form or the other, but if we haven't in its entirety, maybe we haven't asked ourselves these three. If we haven't asked ourselves these three questions, then I would just like us to reflect on them and, you know, think about them. Go and just like really think about these three questions, and it will be the basis for our discussions, the basis for what I'm going to be teaching for the next 4 weeks. And I believe they're quite important questions. So the first question that I'm going to be asking is this. The first thing is, what is fulfillment? What's the definition of fulfillment? What does that mean? The second question we're going to look at tonight is, how is fulfillment measured? How do I measure fulfillment as a person? And the third question is the third question is, how do I become fulfilled in life? So I believe these are really fundamental questions in terms of fulfillment. We want to look at what fulfillment is. We'll look at a dictionary definition. We want to look at how is fulfillment measured? We measure fulfillment, whether we realize it or not, consciously or subconsciously. We want to look at some of the things that we use to measure fulfillment. And thirdly, like I mentioned, how can I become fulfilled in life? Now, these are questions that I believe that as believers, or as anyone who, I mean, as human beings, we should ask ourselves constantly around fulfillment. Now, the reason that I believe we should ask these questions constantly, or we should take a pause in our lives to ask these questions, is What I've realized is, what I see is that oftentimes people ask these questions sometimes when it is almost too late. Now, let me not use that term almost too late, but when a lot of things have passed in life, and you know, oftentimes we've lost a lot of opportunities to really experience what fulfillment is in the real sense. And I was just reading an article that someone sent to me. I think this must have been a couple of weeks ago. And it spoke about this person, this woman, that she worked as a nurse for really, really old people. And she spoke with them a lot. And one question that she often asked these people, loads and loads of them, was, if you had to rewind your life, or if you had to go back in time, what would you do differently? And I believe, to her surprise, most of the people she asked that question had major regrets in life. And these were folks that were in their 90s, folks that were really old. And she realized that their lives, the response that she got from a lot of these people, followed a particular pattern. They had regrets in different areas of their lives. And for that, for some of them that didn't have what I'll call regrets, there were a number of things they wish they had done differently. They wish they had prioritized certain areas of their lives differently from other areas. So why am I saying bringing up this example? I'm bringing up this example because we don't want to live life and get to a point where we are now saying, wow, my life hasn't been fulfilled. How I wish I had been able to live a fulfilled life. No, we don't want to get there. Where we want to get to is, at every point in our lives, whether we're young, whether we're old, we want to be in a position where we can look back at our lives and we can smile and say, yes, I have lived my life in a way that is, that has brought fulfillment to my heart. It's in a way that has brought me joy and satisfaction. So those are the things that we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks. But before we can begin to look at those things, we're asking these questions. What is fulfillment? How do I measure fulfillment? Or how does popular culture, the people around me, what's the default measurement for fulfillment? And the third one is, how can I become fulfilled in life? So as we look at these questions, they will serve as the basis for our the things that we'll be speaking about in the next few weeks. So the first one, what is fulfillment? I took the liberty of checking an online dictionary just to give us like a definition, a dictionary definition of fulfillment. And there's one I got here, which I think is quite interesting. It says, it defines fulfillment as the achievement of something desired, promised, or predicted. The achievement of something desired, promised, or predicted. So we see something in this definition, and the word that really sticks out to me here is the word achievement. Fulfillment in this context is saying it's when one achieves something that you've desired, something that you've been promised, or something that was predicted. So this is quite an interesting definition. It's quite a good one. So it ties fulfillment to something that we achieve, something that maybe we were looking forward to. You know, maybe you're looking forward to, you know, owning, well, having a child, looking forward to owning a business, or looking forward to spending time with your friends. In this little bits and pieces, it says it's the achievement of something. So it has achievement as a basis for fulfillment. So that's what this dictionary definition points fulfillment, well, defines fulfillment as. Now, we'll look at fulfillment more detail, what fulfillment really is in more detail as we go along tonight. So the second question, so we looked at the first question, which is what is fulfillment. I gave us a dictionary definition of that. The second thing is, how is fulfillment measured? How do we normally measure fulfillment? Now, I believe that dictionary definition that we looked at gives us an indication of how we measure fulfillment by default. And I'll just, you know, highlight a number of things here. We often measure fulfillment when we attain a goal. Now, if you cast your mind back to the definition I looked at, which is the achievement of something desired or promised or predicted. So it appears that that's the primary way that we measure fulfillment. I will become fulfilled when this happens in my life. Until this happens, I'm not really fulfilled. Until my relationship gets better, I'm not fulfilled. Until I attain this, until I get this. So we see that fulfillment often is measured in the context of attaining a goal. Now, the thing is this, if I read Proverbs chapter 20, 7 verse 20, Proverbs chapter 27 verse 20, and this talks about the fact that if we're using the attainment of a goal as the basis for fulfillment, it doesn't really hold a lot of water. So what I'm saying is that the definition that we've read now, which, well, we read previously about fulfillment coming about as the result of achieving a desired outcome or something, that doesn't really hold water, I tell you. I was just thinking about this today. But before I do that, let me just read Proverbs 27:20. It says, "Death and destruction are never satisfied, neither are human eyes." Proverbs 27:20. It says, "Death and destruction are never satisfied, neither are human eyes." It's the later part that I'm interested in Proverbs, is Proverbs 27:20. This portion of scripture says something there. It says that, look, if we're using attainment of a goal as the basis of fulfillment, the Bible tells us here is that we can never be satisfied when it comes to attaining goals. So what that means is that if you liked this red dress and you said, look, when I get that red dress that I saw when I was window shopping, yeah, I'm good. But you realize that as soon as you get that red dress, automatically you want a blue dress as well. When you get the blue dress, you want a yellow dress, then you're now like, okay, look, I want something that is in between yellow and green. So what this portion of scripture is saying is that we are never satisfied. It's just human nature. If you attain something today, you want to attain something or something else, something or something else. So what I'm just saying here is that using the attaining of goals, as we looked at that definition, as the basis for measuring fulfillment, really leads to a lot of, well, let me not say to a lot of, oftentimes does not give us that fulfillment that we're actually hoping for. There was a boxer that was speaking once. I was listening to this chap about a couple of months ago, and he caught my attention. This boxer was heavyweight champion at one point in time. He was really, really good, was a really good boxer. But something happened to him. It appeared that at a point in his life just went spiraled out of control. He became a heavy drinker. He put on a lot of weight. Life was just, spiraled out of control for him. And people said all sorts of things, oh, this, oh, that. And they asked him that, what really happened? Fortunately for this boxing chap, he came back and he now, you know, gathered himself up, started boxing again, and, you know, won a couple of matches and all that. So he came back. They were now asking him, what really happened to you? Why did your life spiral out of control like that? And there was a point that he made. He said, my life spiraled out of control after I won the heavyweight championship belt, because it was something I had pursued for all, kind of like the whole of my life. That was what I trained for day and night. That was what I, you know, woke up in the morning to do my early morning runs for. That was something I lived for. And once I got that belt, once I achieved that, it just seemed like there was nothing else to look for again. There was nothing that was going to be worth it again. And my life just had no meaning from that point on. So we see here that using the attainment of a goal or wanting to attain something as the source of fulfillment or as a source of fulfillment in our lives oftentimes doesn't hold water. Now, am I saying that we shouldn't strive to attain goals? We should. We should strive to be better, whatever it is we do. We should strive to improve things. But the point I'm making here is not saying that we shouldn't strive, but I'm saying that when the attainment of a goal becomes the thing that we feel or we say will give us fulfillment, that in most instances doesn't bring that fulfillment, like this gentleman I spoke about. There was another, I watched a documentary as well about this American Texan oil magnate. He left, he had like a foundation where he was, you know, giving out a lot of money to people who were disadvantaged. So it was like the history of this chap. And this guy came from a very humble background. And his mission in life was to become a billionaire, not a millionaire now. He wanted to become a billionaire. And this man worked tirelessly. He neglected his family. He just, all that he wanted to attain was his dream of becoming a billionaire. And when he became a billionaire, his accountant sent him a message, "You're not a billionaire." And he said, "Is that it?" And what he was implying was that, "I thought I would feel different. I thought that I would have a sense of fulfillment." But he was so disappointed. And he just almost said, "Is this what it's all about? I'm now a billionaire, but I feel the same." So what point am I making here? The point I'm making here is that using the attainment of a goal as something we think will bring fulfillment to our lives, in most cases, doesn't really work out in that the way we think it should. Now, so that's one measure of how fulfillment might be. Well, that's one approach to how we, by default, think we can get fulfillment, how we measure fulfillment, something that will be fulfilling in our lives, attaining goals. The second thing is maybe obtaining a certain level of wealth. And I'll look at Luke chapter 12 and verse 16 to 18. Luke chapter 12, verse 16 to 18. And I'll read. And he said, he told them this parable. The ground of a rich man yielded an abundant harvest. And he said to himself, "What shall I do? I have no space to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grains. And I will say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for you for many years. Take life easy, drink and be merry.'" So another measure or another thing oftentimes, and I think particularly now in the 21st century, is oftentimes people think or say, "Well, if I can become financially comfortable," in quote, some people use the term financial freedom. Some people say, "If I can attain this level of wealth and I'm not struggling, then at that point I will be fulfilled." We see the story of this man here, and all his life, what he was just trying to get to was a point where he could throw up his legs and say, "Okay, now I've arrived," so on and so forth. But we often also realize that the attainment of wealth, again, in most instances, does not bring fulfillment. Now, am I saying we shouldn't strive to make enough so that we're not struggling financially? Yes, we should. But what I'm talking about is slightly different. What I'm talking about is when we begin to say, "Okay, when I attain this level of wealth or this level of comfort, or when my bills are paid or so and all that, then I will be fulfilled, then I'll be satisfied." But apparently that doesn't bring the deep sense of fulfillment as well, as what we see. And if we look at Proverbs chapter 23, verse 5, Proverbs chapter 23, verse 5, it says, "Cast but a glance at riches, and they are gone, for they will surely sprout wings and fly away off to the sky like an eagle." So this just tells us that, look, if we're basing our sense of fulfillment or future fulfillment, on becoming financially comfortable, so on and so forth, again, that often doesn't hold water. So what am I saying here? I mean, there's so many ways that people measure fulfillment or measure what they think, or have a yardstick for what they think will bring fulfillment. And we said some attaining goals and some attaining a certain level of wealth. Now, so the third question that we want to look at today, we've looked at the definition of what fulfillment is from a dictionary perspective. We've looked at a couple of things around how we, what our yardstick is for fulfillment. We've said one, attaining goals, and for reaching, obtaining a certain level of wealth. But we realize that looking at the Bible and a number of examples, that doesn't usually bring the fulfillment that we need or that we are seeking for. So the question now is, how do we become fulfilled in life? Well, there are many ways, but I'm just going to look at three things for us to consider and to go away and think about this. So the first thing I want to say is this. For us to begin to have fulfillment, or to begin to experience fulfillment, or have a sense of what that looks like, we need to view fulfillment from God's perspective. Now, why am I saying this? I'm saying this because God's perspective on what brings fulfillment oftentimes is not really what we think. So what I'm saying is that God's view of fulfillment oftentimes is not the same as what we've, you know, just looked at. And if you look at Isaiah chapter 55 verses 8 and 9, Isaiah chapter 55 verses 8 and 9, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." It says, "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So what God is saying here in this portion of scripture is that, look, you need to take a pause. I need to take a pause and not just assume that our definition of fulfillment or our yardstick for fulfillment is the same yardstick that God uses. Apparently not. Now, God's view on fulfillment and what brings fulfillment is quite different from what popular culture would say brings fulfillment. So the first thing is taking a pause to realize that, look, God has a view on what brings fulfillment, and it would be good to investigate what that view means or what God's views are as it regards to fulfillment. Because I believe that if we can align ourselves with what God says brings fulfillment, then we will experience true fulfillment. True fulfillment that isn't there for a second or there for a day and it disappears. So the first thing is having God's perspective on what brings true fulfillment. I'll look at two other things. Now, the second thing is this, and I think this is quite important. Fulfillment is not a goal, it is a state. Now, I'm looking at it from God's perspective. So we're still looking at the third point. How do we become fulfilled? How can we live a life that is fulfilled? We've said, one, having God's perspective, having God's view on the subject matter. The second thing I've mentioned is that fulfillment is not a goal, it is a state. And that is really important. Now, why am I making the distinction here that fulfillment is a state and not a goal? Now, we looked at fulfillment from the goal perspective earlier, saying, if I get this, if I achieve this, then I will be fulfilled. But we realized, looking at examples, that attaining a goal doesn't necessarily give you fulfillment. So fulfillment is not a goal, it's a state. That means you do not have to get to a point where you are fulfilled. You can begin to experience fulfillment right now. You might say, "Hang on, Pastor, this hasn't happened in my life. This hasn't happened in my life. Then how can I be fulfilled?" Well, if you're using that measure, then you're not really viewing it from God's perspective. I'm not saying the perspective that you have is bad. Please don't get me wrong, but I'm saying that the perspective that you have might not really hold water when the tire hits the road. So fulfillment is not a goal. It is a state that we are, that one is in. Now, if you look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13, Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 to 14. So Paul was saying something here. He says, I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in every and any situation. Whether I feel fed or hungry, whether I live in plenty or in want, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. This portion of scripture is so critical. Paul, the apostle, says something. He says, look, I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances, in whatever circumstance I'm in. Now, I need to put a PS in with regards to this statement. Paul isn't saying if we are in a position or if we're experiencing, he's not saying we should accept mediocrity. He's not saying we shouldn't strive to attain, because I mean, if you look at the story of this man, Paul, this man was a go-getter. He was always going for it. So this isn't saying you should be content with mediocrity. It's not saying you should be content and put your hands up in the air and say, well, whatever happens will happen. It's not saying you shouldn't strive to attain goals that you've set out for yourself. You should. You should attain goals. You should strive. You should have a plan. This is what I want to do next year. That is what I want to achieve. You should have that. God expects us to have that. But the difference here is this. This man here is drawing a demarcation. He's not saying that my attainment of goals is what brings me the fulfillment and the satisfaction. No, he's saying that, look, let's put goals aside. Let's put attainment aside. There is something that I know, and that is that I will live in a state of contentment, irrespective of whether I've achieved my goals or not. So contentment in this instance is not based on externalities. It's not based on me doing this, this, and that. No, those things I will do, but my contentment, my fulfillment is something I experience on a daily basis now. It is not in the future. And again, it is not based on externalities. It's not based on whether I have money or I don't have money, whether I'm hungry or not, whether I've got this thing that I want or not. No, it's not based on any of that. So what it's saying here is that fulfillment, God's fulfillment, is internal. It is not based on externalities. It's not based on goals. It is a sense that we get from God that, God, thank you for my life. This is where I am at the moment, and I will be fulfilled in this life now. It's not a future goal at all, although I will still strive to do the things I need to do. So there's a story in the Bible that, you know, I love so much. It's about this man, well, he was a boy then, called Joseph. And again, we're saying, how can I be fulfilled here? What is fulfillment? What does that look like? And I've said, we begin to experience fulfillment when we look at it from God's perspective, not on our perspective, because God's perspective holds water. And we've said that fulfillment in God's perspective is a state. It is not a goal that one attains. Looking at the story of Joseph in the Bible. Now, if you look at Genesis, I believe from Genesis 35, and you read on and on, it begins to tell you, I think it's Genesis 37, from 37, it talks about the life of Joseph. And this Joseph was, he had a lot of, I'll say his life was very colorful and very interesting in a bad way. If you looked at it from external circumstances, this was a young boy. Theologians say he was probably about 17. Said, look, I have a dream. God has shown me this great future. He goes, he tells his brothers, he tells his parents, and is like, he's really excited about the future. And from that time, it appeared that his life began to take a different turn. He was sold into slavery. He was falsely accused of, you know, so many, well, one or two things. He was thrown into prison. And this guy's life, if you looked at it externally, you were like, man, this guy's life is really, is not the kind of life I would want to experience. But there's a point I want to point out here. There's something I want to point out here, that while Joseph was a slave, he had no liberties at all. God said something about him. Genesis chapter 39, verse 2. It says, and God was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. So picture this. This guy is a slave. This guy, in quote, doesn't have any goals that he can achieve. I mean, what is he going to achieve as a slave? He was just going about his daily activities. And he probably thought, well, this is my lot in life. But irrespective, I'm still going to work hard. I'll do all I can to, just, you know, I'm going to really work hard. But something God points out here is this. He said, God said, looked at Joseph and he said, yes, that is a fulfilled man. That is a prosperous man. So you begin to look at this and you say, hang on, God, how can you be calling this man a prosperous man? How can you be saying this man was living a fulfilled life despite the things that were happening around him? So that's where we begin to see that fulfillment in God's eyes is not based on externalities. It is a state that one is in. So I'm going to stop there tonight. And in the next 3 weeks coming, we'll look at how can I live a fulfilled life in my personal everyday life. After that, we'll look at fulfillment. How can I, what does fulfillment look like from my spiritual life? I'll explain what that means when we get there. And the last one is, how can I live a fulfilled life in terms of my work environment, in terms of school, in terms of things that I do to make a living? We'll look at those subsequently. So we've tried to lay the foundation tonight of a fulfilled life. So we asked ourselves a number of questions. The questions we asked was, the first one was, what does fulfillment mean? The second question we asked was, how do we measure fulfillment? And we said, from a popular culture, from a default perspective, we measure fulfillment maybe in attaining, or when we attain a goal, or we think that's going to bring fulfillment. But the last thing we looked at was how does one become fulfilled? And we said, to get to the point where you are fulfilled, you have to have God's perspective on what fulfillment really means. And we're going to stop there tonight. And I'll pray.